Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Ken Swartz. Before I bring him on, I need to remind you that this will be our last regular show until after June 12th. We leave tomorrow for the Laughlin UFO Mega Conference. But don't worry, I will definitely be broadcasting from there all week. I'll be interviewing the amazing presenters, and I really hope to see as many of you there as possible. This trip is also mostly self-funded, so if you would like to help out with a donation, anything is greatly appreciated. That link is in the description. Tonight, I'm happy to welcome back to the show Ken Swartz. He's the founder and chief science officer of C60 Purple Power. He's run several research science laboratories over the course of his career and discovered C60 while developing the MOXIE fusion reactor. During his research, he became aware of the powerful free radical neutralizing properties of C60, and in 2016, he founded C60 Purple Power. Ken, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Oh, glad to be on, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Good to have you back. Always great talking with you. Tonight, I thought we would talk about the ongoing UFO mania that's in our mainstream, of course, what we could possibly expect to come out in the next few days with this document dump, as well as some new tech terrors that we may be seeing with some little drones that they're going to be rolling out and some other, you know, possible technical scary stuff that we could be looking at here in the near future. You know, we never know what would be coming along with this Space Force. But first, let's talk about how amazing C60 has been. It's been great for me, and it's been great for my pets. We have a senior dog that started taking it a little over a month ago. And Ken, she may outlive us now. Her coat is really shiny. She's like got so much energy now. She's eating out of the garbage all the time. We got to get her out of there. She's eating more than ever. And she actually had a tumor on her neck that shrunk. So this stuff is definitely amazing. I feel great. And now my dog feels great too. You've had some your own amazing experiences. You've helped reverse your macular degeneration. So many people have had this, you know, amazing experiences. What is it about C60 that is basically seemingly could prolong people's lives?
Well, it's an antioxidant, and it's several hundred times more powerful than conventional antioxidants. But it only interacts with really high energy oxidative radicals. And what they often call it is an SOD mimic. And SOD stands for superoxide dismutase. And it's common in your mitochondria and other places in the cell where there's a lot of energy being produced and metabolics going on. And the thing is, as we get older, a lot of the larger cell provides these antioxidants to the mitochondria. And as we get older, those larger cells slow down. And so the mitochondria, they're kind of self-regulating little organelles there, and they have to tune down their energy. And they make ATP, which is the precursor molecule for all the hormones. And although they make ATP, which is the energy molecule, and they make pregnenolone, which is a precursor molecule for all the hormones. And when that's all turned down, and that's kind of what that's like. Usually pregnenolone comes from LDL cholesterol. And as we get older, that's kind of a sign. It starts building up in our arteries or in our bloodstream, and then it oxidizes, sticks to our arteries. And now we've got plaques and stuff. Well, before, when we were younger, that stuff was being metabolized into pregnenolone and then into hormones, all the different hormones. And so when you take C60, you get ATP, which is the energy molecule for like 90% of all the metabolic processes that go in the cell. So now your cellular energy goes way up, and then also your hormone levels go way up. And that's everywhere. It's like your pineal gland, your pituitary gland, the adrenals, the thyroid, all that stuff. And it goes back naturally, because C60 isn't really it doesn't heal anything. What it does, it just lifts the oxidative burden your cells are under so that they can operate the way they used to be. And it's like you get younger, and so everything gets better.
Yeah, everything definitely has gotten a lot better since I started using C60. I have energy every day. I don't have to worry about, having to take a nap during the day. I haven't gotten sick since I've started taking C60, I think, and I lost a ton of weight, and I'm keeping it off. I try to exercise regularly, but it's something I've always done, so I attribute that to 660, because it's the only thing that I can imagine that's keeping me in such good shape lately. I use it, anytime I have any inflammation in my gums, I actually swish with a little bit of C60, and that helps too. So it's like an all-around amazing product that I would not go back to the way it was. I'm glad that I started taking this, and it is worth every penny.
Yeah, it's done amazing things, and you probably heard my story on other things. How it got rid of my macular degeneration, and just once the oxidative burden that's causing the damage is lifted, then the cells heal themselves, and good things happen.
Yeah, definitely so. And what would you say to people, that are on the fence about C60 because of the cost? That's the main thing that I get that keeps people from buying it. And what I tell them is, what is your health worth to you? Especially if you're at a certain age and things start to fall apart. It's really literally worth more than gold, right?
Yes, it is. By weight, it's worth more than gold. And we put it into all organic farm sourced oils. So all along, and then we have third party verification after it's produced. And of course, verification of all the inputs. So we try to make the best product possible because we use it ourselves. And when it costs more by weight than gold, and it takes there's a certain amount of preparation to make it. It costs what it takes to do. And also, you got to be careful because there's people out there that'll sell you a lot less of a product. But if you look at all the big producers of C60, they're all pretty much similarly priced, because either if you use the, now we use 99.99%. pure carbon 60, that's the highest purity that you can get. And we also use sublimated C60. There's a lot of C60 people out there that they use chemical processes, basically toluene, methylbenzene to purify it. And then they quote oven bake it and bake it all off, but you can never get rid of all of it. We use sublimation, which is like evaporation. It just turns from a solid, the crystals in the production batch turn from solid to a gas, and it goes across the sublimator and condenses into pure C60 crystals, and that's what we use for ours. So it's never been exposed to toxins, and yeah, that's one of the things we like about our product. So that it's purity, and everything is well sourced.
Definitely. So I can't recommend C60 enough. Go to the website right now. Just click the link in the description. You're going to get 10% off your order if you order anything, and you're going to get free shipping. So go ahead, check out all their awesome products, and what is your health worth for you? It should be priceless. So I also want to remind you guys that this is going to be a pretty much open conversation. If you want to join in the chat, have any questions for Ken, me, any comments, go ahead and do so at any time, and we'll try and get to those because we've got a lot of stuff going on right now, especially in the media with the UFO phenomenon. It's really frustrating for me because I'm just ready for them to do something with this. They keep building up and building up, and I don't trust any of it. I don't trust the sources it's coming from. I don't trust the information that they're talking about. Heck, half the footage they're showing us is TR-3s or drones or something. So I don't know. What do you think is going on with this? What are they ramping up for? We're getting some information supposedly in a few days.
Well, it's certainly a coordinated effort, because you'll see it. Of course, we've seen it on all the mainstream media companies. They'll have like the F-16 footage of strange objects in the air, or all the footage around the various Navy ships. Usually they're just a little bit ways off coast, which is interesting. They're not way out in the middle of the sea. And also other things like Sunday, they had that 60 Minutes on Sunday with Bill Whitaker. He had those pilots on. I mean, those pilots couldn't have gone on that show unless they had permission. That's the way it works. So it's clearly an organized effort, but to what end? And of course, we have other guys like Elizondo, which says that, what is that? They call it the AATIP, whatever that means, that they have, which is they're going to supposedly they're angry insiders who are going to expose the whole thing. But, he was a CIA agent. And once you're in the CIA, you're always in the CIA.
Yes.
And supposedly when he was, and they've found out now that from people have come forward, said when he was supposed to be working at some other job in the CIA somewhere else, he was actually a UFO investigator, and he'd go in and intimidate UFO witnesses. right? So he'd investigate their cases and then intimidate them while he was supposed to be doing something else because people have come forward. So, and then he has this assignment, the supposed, you know, and you've got, I don't know if people saw Richard Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer come on, and he was talking about how this is really suspicious because of what's going down. And then the thing is everyone knows that that Dr. Greer is like, you know, all aliens are benevolent and good. I don't know about that, but Alejandro and all these other ones, it's all like a national security threat.
You broke up for that last, national what?
They keep saying it's these UFOs are a national security threat.
Oh yeah. That's what they're painting it as. But you know, I always think about that. It seems like these guys could have wiped us out a long time ago if they were, you know, this big of a threat. Maybe they are a threat in certain ways, but I don't know. You know, it seems like if they're so advanced and they have this amazing technology, you know, they could have easily just gotten rid of us long ago. What do you think?
Yeah, back in the horse and buggy days, how hard would that have been?
Right.
So, and they've been around for hundreds of years. I mean, if you go back and look at the historical record, so... Yeah, if they would wanted to take over Earth, they could have done it a long time ago. So, but if we go look at this, if we look around, remember Carolyn Roslin, I think that's how to say her name. She worked for Wernher von Braun.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw a video with her the other day talking about the fake invasion.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what it was. Wernher von Braun told him, you know, what's going to happen. First, it's going to be terrorists. You know, and we have to have this thing against terrorists. Well, we obviously saw that in 2001.
Didn't he have that on his gravestone that the final step will be the invasion or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. And then it was going to be asteroids. And the final thing, which was going to be the alien invasion. And it's all fake. And I think it's pretty obvious that the U.S. has some sort of back engineered technology or technology that would the average public would see as a UFO. So yeah, I think the fake alien invasion is a good idea, and they just made a space force, right? If you have a space force, you're going to need something to fight against, something from outer space to fight. So what would be better than, you know, a alien invasion that we need defending from?
Right. Yeah, and there's no telling what the you know, these new satellites they have in the sky could be projecting anything. I just wouldn't put it past them because it seems like the op we just saw, everybody knows what I'm talking about, the I'll call it the coof, like my my friend X-Cube calls it, the coof op that we just went through for the past couple of years is cracking up and failing, especially with these new Fauci emails, so they got to do something. But I do have a question from the chat about C60 before we move on too much further. Revolt Records ask if we can ask Ken to give some anecdotes of pets that have benefited from C60.
Well, we have obviously your pet one. We also have a channel called the C60 Purple Power on YouTube. And we actually have several like little stories there of various pets which have benefited from C60. And you know, C60, if you're in your 20s or 30s, or if your pet would be in its equivalent dog years of 20 or 30s, you know, C60, it'll help, but it's when you get really old. That's when you get the gray-haired crowd for the old dogs and kitties. That's where it really kicks in. I mean, we've had we had a German Shepherd, and it was just about, they were thinking they had to put it down. So they started giving it a tablespoon a day. And within about 2 or 3 weeks, it was back up walking around. Its vision had improved, the coat had improved, and it's still alive. And they figured, you know, it was a goner. So it works, you know, SOD, once you replace the missing SOD in the mitochondria, you got your ATP back. And then once you have ATP, that the cell can do all the jobs it used to do, and it just brings back great health. So we also have if you go to that channel, you can see several of them. It's just that, yeah, we have had old kitties come back and everything like that. And if you got a few gray hairs, it works great for people too. So,
yeah.
So the older the animal is, the more, the better you're, and the more dramatic you'll see the change.
I'm telling you, our dog has been annoying us. She's had so much energy. It's crazy. Let's see. Revolt Records also says they're using the UFO disclosure to keep people in a low fear vibration. I mean, that may that may be one of the agendas to keep people in fear, maybe fear of this UFO thing. But I don't think it's working with most people. I think more people are interested in it and kind of curious about it than really afraid from what I'm hearing. I don't know. What do you think, Ken?
Well, they use the fear porn. I mean, look at the evening news. I mean, fear porn is its main thing. If it bleeds, it leads, you know. Then it was, you know, it was the CV. Oh, we're all going to die. And then it was terrorists. And then it was, you know, gunmen. And then it was, you know, insurrection. I mean, it's just like, yeah, they do like to keep people in a state of fear. And yeah, another thing, the evil aliens from, you know, Zeta Reticuli. I mean, that would be a great little another fear, because they like that fear. And one of the things, when people are in fear, their amygdala clicks back like their brain energy to the fight or flight response, and it leaves the frontal lobes on neutral. And I mean, they've developed it's trauma based mind control. I mean, September 11th was all about, trauma based mind control. You flip people into fear, you feed them the narrative, and then when their brains kick back forward, you programmed them. It's trauma-based mind control is very effective. They've been using it for probably thousands of years, but they've made it into more of an art or a science these days.
Yeah, and I've noticed it really worked with the masks for a lot of people, because even though they've dropped the mandates and, you know, in so many states, I see so many people wearing the mask either out of fear or this new fashion trend or whatever. Yeah, they're really good at that that indoctrination in fear. I have another quick question about C60. Simone Conscious Observer asked if you know how she can get C60 in Mexico.
Oh, we ship to Mexico.
Ships to Mexico. There you go, Simone.
Ship so pretty much to most countries in the world. There's a few we can't ship to, but we ship to most countries in the world.
Yes, that's good. So yeah, go check that out, Simone. You can click on the website and we get you shipped out. Let's see. She also says it cracks her up when she heard a snippet of the MSM talking about how those ships aren't able to be made by humans, totally avoiding the back engineering. Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. It really bothers me when they're showing like a TR-3 or something and they're saying, we don't know what that is, you know. We know what that is. That's one of ours. And I'm sure that a lot of the stuff that we're seeing in the sky is probably ours. I know that there's some crazy stuff like these, like flashing Merkaba lights and crazy light ships that are that dematerialize that really may not be ours, but I think some of those may be. What do you think, Ken?
Yeah, I think some of those are. But there's also some other stuff going on. You know, and some of the people behind the scenes are saying that, you know, the UFO people or whatever aren't really happy what's been going on the planet Earth, and the whole mind control thing, and of course the Great Reset, where they're going to try to enslave all humanity under their one world corporation situation. And so some of the alleged UFOs are going to be revealing themselves whether they like it or not. And so So they're doing that. And it's another thing. I know people that are in UFO organizations that do investigating. I won't say any particulars, but they've just had a huge number of what you call encounters of the third kind cases. They're just exploding exponentially and exploding all over the place. So there may be something, but it's not about, maybe on the other side, it may not be about ships going. It's about, you know, personal extraterrestrial interactions with humans on a one-on-one basis.
I was just talking with someone about that, about if it's really, we're seeing more contact right now, or more people are just talking about it because they feel comfortable about it. I know that they've had a rash of celebrities saying that they communicate with aliens now on a regular basis, but that could just be part of the whole indoctrination thing, or getting people ready for this alien thing. I don't know. But it's very interesting to see what's going on right now in the public consciousness with aliens and everything like that, because I notice at the upcoming conference, they've got like three or four speakers that are going to be speaking for the first time about their own personal experiences just coming out this year because they feel comfortable enough.
Yeah, but these are most, a lot of these cases are evidently new ones, recent. There just seems to be a huge increase in it. And I don't think it's due just to, you know, people being more willing to talk about it. I think it's maybe just due to there's something going on, something behind the scenes where they're stepping out and maybe they were, you know, the powers that be were going to do the ships in the sky scare thing. So they've got a different thing where they're meeting people individually. And so it's not a scary thing. It's more of a personal interaction. And maybe if they meet enough people, you know, you'll eventually people will know somebody who've actually had a meeting with extraterrestrials or has met with them. And that way it's not a scary thing. And it's a kind of a way around the whole fear porn situation.
Yeah, and you mentioned Elizondo earlier. He's making the rounds on a lot of radio shows, you know, promoting the ATIP thing and the TTSA and all this, crazy nonsense that they're doing. And, he's the most frustrating interview I've ever heard because he's not giving us any information and he's just regurgitating the same, you know, possible threat nonsense that we're seeing. But, I don't know. I think that they've got the wrong face to be presenting this information, especially through, you know, ATIP. It's just this military face doesn't really work for a lot of the public now. I think a lot of people aren't really buying this.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that the ones that are on the mainstream and pushing it, it's, you know, either CIA agents or military people. You know, it's not like Joe off the street, right? Or Jane off the street who had this experience. It's all, you know, and they're all pushing the threat concept. So, and, you know, I think if you go to Dr. Stephen Greer and listen to some of his stuff and what he's been posting, there might be a little bit more there because he's had, you know, a lot of contacts and stuff. And yeah, it's like you said, if they really wanted to take us over, why would they wait till now? Right? They could have done it at any time in history. So It seems a little contrived that the people who've been hiding it from us all these years are all of a sudden bringing it forward and saying, oh, it's a great threat. And I grow suspicious about things like that.
You think we're going to see anything good in this upcoming document dump?
No, I think you'll see the same thing. There'll be teasers, right? And it'll be selectively edited or selectively, what do they call that? Retracted. So that I'll bet you it'll have the national security threat written all over it. It'll be arranged that. And so, you know, we need to get more money to make a space force to protect us against aliens. You know, I guess the Russians and Chinese aren't enough. They need aliens. And that's going to take a lot of money. And be very afraid and give us your money. We need to protect you.
Yeah. I'm wondering what they're going to do next. What do you think is going to happen with some of these players when it comes to the Fauci emails? Do you think there's going to be any kind of justice? I mean, I feel somewhat vindicated with some of the information that's come out. Like MSNBC's just now starting to kind of acknowledge somewhat that the information in the emails and so many independent sources are just, you know, spreading this information all over the place, doing a great job of dissecting the emails and covering the stuff that's in it. We're going to be doing some shows as soon as we can about it. Corey's done some great research into the emails themselves. But what do you think? Do you think anything's going to happen? You think any heads are going to roll because of this?
Well, I think they're going to throw him under the bus. He'll be the sacrificial thing. And then they're pushing for the China narrative. It was the Chinese that did it. But, and then, you know, Fauci was involved with, you know, the National Institutes of Health financing it all. But they're going for that angle, it appears to be, you know, those. But I'm really suspicious about the whole thing. It's interesting that it broke out in China, Iran. It infected the Iranian leadership before it infected the general population of Iran. That's kind of a strange way for it to come in. And it also infected Italy. And at the same time, and those are the three key hubs on the Belt and Road Initiative. And since when that happened, the Belt and Road, like 90% of the construction of the Belt and Road was halted basically due to this outbreak. So it really, you know, it almost looks like a strategic attack against the Belt and Road system.
Yeah, and they're their vaccine, what I'll call it, vaccine jab, is not as popular as they'd like it to be. There's a lot of resistance in the medical field. I'm hoping more medical professionals come out and speak against this stuff, but I just don't, I don't see it lasting. I don't see them being able to push the whole COOF thing much longer. I think this is falling apart right before their eyes, and that's why they're kind of throwing Fauci under the bus. So they got to do something else. Or do you think that they might try and ramp it up again to give it another shot with the COOF?
Well, maybe they will, but I know at least a dozen people who have died from it, right? People that, you know, two or three steps removed from me, all through different friends, family, all that kind of stuff. So it's wiped out a lot of people, and it's probably going to do even more. So that's kind of hard to cover up when everybody pretty much knows somebody who's taken the vaccine and they're no longer around. So, you know, how are you going to cover that up? Because, you know, they're gone. They're not coming back. And people talk.
Definitely so. And, you know, that's not something, like you said, that's not something that's going to go away, and it's going to keep manifesting in different ways. Now, you sent me an interesting video a few days ago about microdrones, these very terrifying things that are going to be rolled out here soon. Tell us, what do you take on this? You think that we're in for some surveillance or possible, military action, or just delivering our groceries with some little drones?
Well, that's kind of what had happened here. It all started a couple weeks ago. I was just looking at it, and the Turks in Turkey is in Libya. Libya used to be part of the Ottoman Empire, so they've moved in there with their military to fight against whichever gang of insurgencies they have in there, right? There's so many tribes fighting other tribes, it's hard to keep track. And what had happened is, I think maybe we could even pull that article up, that...
Let me turn your screen sharing on. Give me a sec.
I don't know if I can pull it up right at the moment. If we got that, the search, I haven't have it set up right. But basically, if you can go online and check it out, yeah. It's happened about 2 weeks ago in Libya that the Turkish army had these suicide drones, which are designed to go in to find insurgents. They can fly inside of buildings, and then they fly into them with an explosive charge and destroy the person. Well, it evidently what happened is one or more of those suicide drones went off, I guess, went rogue and attacked a bunch of Turkish soldiers and the allies of the Turkish soldiers, and they're kind of covering up, but it looks like it took, you know, they send these things out in swarms, and so one of their drone swarms attacked the Turkish military and their allies and probably wiped out a whole bunch. We don't really know how many died, but that happened, and so there was obviously some sort of software flaw or other things that goes on. They've had a lot of problems with strange problems with robots, and I think I included that on that little message. Maybe we can, after the show, you can put them in the show notes and people could see this stuff on their own.
And definitely
the strange stuff started happening in Japan, because they were really the first country to robotize, first put in robot production things, and they started having these accidents. And what would happen is, you know, people are doing maintenance or, you know, on the robot line, you know, they shut it down every now and do maintenance. And so they would shut the robots down. They'd shut them off, right? It's like your VCR or your computer, right? You turn it off. So the thing is off, but the power is still on. And then the person would go into the area of the robot and would start cleaning or doing or changing out something. And the robots would turn themselves on and then try to fulfill their function. Now, if it's just like trying to drill in a screw or something, or attach one part to another, you know, there were probably some serious injuries, but there wasn't deaths. But then there was a couple of ones where the guy goes into a grinder, you know, usually in an auto or manufacturing thing, and you know, the robot turns itself on and thinks that guy needs to be grinded, so the robot grabs him and then starts grinding on him. And another time, a guy went into one of those automated welder machines, and the welder machine turned itself on, and decided they needed to weld that guy. Well, those were fatalities. And if you can go online, and I included in there some of the fatalities, a lot of the minor injuries, they don't get recorded. Now, originally people said, oh, well, they forgot to turn the robots off and they were just on standby. And when the motion of the person went in there, it just set it off. But then they started looking closer and no, these things were definitely off. I mean, the Japanese are very thorough in what they do. They're not going to leave, you know, automated thing just sitting there. When the line shuts down, the line shuts down. And so these, what it looked like, the robots were definitely turning themselves on in some spontaneous manner and then trying to fulfill whatever purpose they wanted. And so actually the Japanese parliament passed a law that said that when robots were going to be maintained or worked on, that they had to be shut off completely. That means the electricity had to be withdrawn from the robot completely. So there was no electricity in the robots because this happens so often. And there was no explanation for it at all. It was just kind of spooky stuff. So we've seen that in spooky stuff. Yeah. Like it's on spontaneous, you know, like quantum stuff, whatever goes on.
Yeah. The robots are becoming sentient or something.
Yes. Well, they're part of that. It matters on your religious sensibilities. Now there's, you know, there's people have their own religions, but there's also other religions. In fact, the ones that little ETs like to talk about, this is their main religion. And they see that the whole universe was created by the cosmic consciousness, the one, right? It created it out of its own consciousness. So that means every bit of matter, including energy, and which matter is made out of energy, as you know, it has, obviously matter is energy, but it also has a bit of awareness and consciousness because it was created out of the cosmic consciousness. So if you make some device that keeps doing everything, you know, something all over, in a sense, you create you give that device some sort of a bit of sentience, a bit of will, because it's been doing it all. And those, because all the atoms are that thing that's made are have a certain amount of that awareness and consciousness because it came from the cosmic consciousness. So it has a it's like an egregore. People have probably heard about in the spiritual things, the egregore, where mystics and stuff can create these beings. It's almost like, you know, robot golems, right? And they've been created now. And then they just, you know, they have a certain sort of consciousness to fulfill whatever that mission is, whether it's grinding on a car body or welding it. That becomes sort of, so it's a quasi-consciousness sort of thing. And then you got to worry about what about, well, that if that happens in industrial robots and there's no way we can really control it, they had to pass laws. You got to shut all the electricity off because they couldn't explain it. It was unexplainable. Well, can't that happen in killbots? Or is that video you put up slaughterbots, which is kind of a science fiction thing, but it's real now. They have, you know, and obviously the Turks didn't come up with that. Those suicide robots, like they fly, you know, drones, suicide drones that's charging them. They fly into, you know, an insurgent or the enemy and blow themselves up, taking the enemy out with them. And the Turks probably didn't build those. They bought them from somebody. They either bought them from a United States corporation or maybe an Israeli corporation. Because if you're looking for people who are the best in robotics, you know, that's, you're looking either, you know, US, Israeli, or maybe possibly Russian. So they bought them from somebody. They didn't make them. And then they have this, was it a software flaw? Or was it something else?
Exactly. And we have to worry about, you know, of course these things can be hacked at a certain level. You know, that's something else we would have to worry about. Yeah. It makes you wonder about that too.
Yeah. And so you got to wonder, you know, it's kind of like the old Terminator movies with Skynet. You know, it just, it turned right. It on and then it just decided to do its own thing. And that brings up, of course, the problem with AI. If we have this, if you just have a mechanical device, obviously got some chips in it to do it, you know, a laser, a welder, or a grinder, or, you know, some just a assembly line machine starts having these self-generating principles or self quasi-consciousness. You know, it has a purpose. It just does it, turns itself on and do it. I mean, I've had machines do that myself. They're just sitting there, they're off, and they'll just turn themselves on and start doing their function. I'm going, what? There's, and the things are like, you know, usually they have the LEDs and everything is running on it. No, there was no LEDs, no running. The thing just turned itself on and started doing its function without the normal startup protocols. And I'm going, whoa, that's pretty scary. You know, why is this production machine doing this? So I've actually seen it myself. So So you got to really wonder, you know, you've got, you know, these killer robots or even AI, which means, can you really stop AI? What happens if, you know, AI goes bad and you turn it off and then it turns itself back on and won't, and you can't turn it off anymore?
When was it that Kurzweil predicted that AI would become sentient, like 2025 or something like that?
Yeah, because just all the thing. Well, you know, right now, just Bitcoin mining takes all the energy of Germany and a huge, massive, what's really going on there? You know, what's
right, going on there?
They're making all these computers. They're doing all this code. What's that code about? What's really living there? What is exactly going on there when you have, you know, the energy power of Germany and probably the largest amount of computing power, and it's just growing exponentially? I mean, is blockchain like the DNA of AI? And people are, you know, the AI is actually using humans to make itself grow bigger and powerfuler and increase its computer size.
That's an interesting thought.
Brain size. I don't know. Do we really know? I don't right. think we do.
Yeah, that's a super interesting thought. And, you know, when you combine that with the new technology that they're rolling out, these crazy robots that could, you know, punch through your face, the little death drones that we were just talking about, these dogs that patrol the street, and you combine that with this AI that could become sentient, man, we would be in serious trouble, you know,
production
of those things.
And it happens spontaneously and can't be predicted. That's why, you know, they had the Japanese parliament had to pass that law, because I've had machines do it myself, right? They should not do it. These are primitive machines. There's no way that can happen, but they did. They turned themselves on and they didn't have the normal LED and control mechanisms, but the physical action started happening. And I'm going, whoa, that is impossible. That cannot happen. Yet I've seen it happen. So, and then the Japanese have seen it happen. It's happened in robotic production lines all across the planet. Some places it's a little bit worse because they don't have, they're not as thorough and as the Japanese are for controls. So they have a little bit more accidents, and they always blame it on like somebody forgot to turn this off or somebody did that. But when you really examine it, they just don't have an explanation for what happened.
Yeah. Ashley brings up a good point in the chat. Facebook, I think that sometimes I could be thinking about something sometimes, and I'll look at Facebook and it'll be an ad for the product or something I was just thinking about. And, you know, definitely if you say something, it'll pop up on your Facebook feed or YouTube feed or any social media there. And it gets pretty scary. The stuff that it can advertise to you based on your lifestyle, stuff that I seemingly don't even talk about. It's very creepy.
Yeah, so that could be another one. What really is going on there? Usually, of course, a lot of times your phones are listening, or Alexa's listening, or something's listening. I guess they're going to have all these.
It's all connected somehow.
Products are going to now suddenly start linking up with each other and make this crazy net. So we have no idea. Yeah, is it just really good marketing, or is it something else? It's getting to be a little spooky sometimes.
Definitely so. Now they're trying to, of course, integrate us with technology. They're really pushing, you know, transhuman agenda. People who want to be able to open their garage with a push of their wrist or whatever, you know, they implanted. I think that is going to be a big part of our future as well. People's biology being integrated with technology. And that could be a problem too with AI, especially, you know, who's going to want AI integrated into their brain, this possible future sentient force that could make decisions for you, you know, and kill you.
Yeah. Or even, you know, they already have primitive devices which can actually read what people are thinking. You know, they've found, you know, if when people think of a dog, it creates this brainwave pattern. So they can look at people and they say, oh, he's thinking of a dog. So they've, you know, it's rudimentary now, but it won't stay rudimentary very long. And they could actually, you know, it might be able to actually read your thoughts to a certain level. That's a technology that exists today. It's not that sophisticated, but, you know, things change.
Yeah, we're definitely looking at some creepy stuff. Now, we were talking about the Space Force earlier. How deep do you think we've actually gone? Do you think that we have operations possibly on the dark side of the moon, even beyond? Do you think we're on Mars like some of the super soldiers and whistleblowers say that we've possibly been, like Bashago and that sort?
Well, they had those spacecraft up at Edwards that so I'll be back engineered, and evidently they did a tour of all the planets, the outer planets, with them and came back. So they're kind of like, but the thing is, you know, when Apollo 17, I think that was the last one we sent there, as it was heading back to the Earth and it left the moon's gravity and entered the Earth's gravity thing, there was like thousands of people on ham radio listening to the conversation between mission control and the Apollo capsule, because they were using, you know, ham radio frequencies, ones that'll come in and out, and thousands of ham radio operators heard "do not return" in very loud voice, right? Very loud voice, "do not return." And that's a well-documented fact in humans, and they never went back to the moon. So, you know, there's probably somebody there that doesn't want us to come. Mars, they say anybody can go to Mars, you know, but you have to also remember these guys that supposedly make all this, these, you know, our secret space force, they're the same guys that made the F-35, right? That's a real winner. Or how about the USS Gerald Ford? They made the greatest battle, the greatest Air Force aircraft carrier ever. It's, I mean, they can't even get the electric catapult. It doesn't work for anybody, but they did, like, they got two of them, right? And with the catchers. But the problem is they put it all off one power supply. So if you want to work on any one of them, you have to shut down all of them.
It's, we like, do seem to have conflicting technology when it comes to what we're putting out there. You know, we can't make it back to the moon right now because of our technology. You know, we build shitty this and shitty that, but yet we have a space force and all this possible free energy tech that they're not telling us about. Hopefully we could see it rolled out soon. I don't know. I think they're going to keep that stuff to themselves. What do you think?
I've seen, you know, the quality of these beings, like they were designed the new Hummer, right? And it was the greatest Hummer ever. And they got it all. They run it off the production line. Then they put it on the, they put the weapons package on the back of it, and it bent the frame so much you couldn't close the doors. If they were open, you couldn't, or if they're closed, you couldn't open them. If they're open, you couldn't close them, right? And so these are the same guys. So yeah, they may have a secret space force, but I suspect it's a bunch of hangar queens that have so many problems, so overcomplicated, that they're going to spend 95% of their time in dry dock being repaired, trying to keep them functioning and not really being of operational things. And I'm wondering how many of those things are floating cold, frozen in outer space with a bunch of dead crew members on them, you know? So we don't know about that either. So yeah, they could build a space fleet, but the quality of their production of our defense contractors is so pathetically bad. That, I mean, we could go on the littoral fighting ship, the Zemwalt class destroyer. I mean, just everything they make, they can't seem to make anything that works effectively or is, you know, so I just don't have any faith. Yeah, they may build these back engineer crafts, but I suspect they're really junky.
Yeah, we live in fascinating times. I want to go back to the Fauci emails for a second. Do you think that the emails will be enough to kind of shift a collective consciousness to, like, you know, conspiracy theorists really deserve an apology right now. It's like all conspiracy came true these past couple of years. Aliens are real. But do you think that we're going to see a change in, you think more people are going to start thinking the right way and questioning things and being more open-minded and not trusting the government as much and not trusting the media as much? I think we're already seeing a lot of it, but they don't want to let us know that it's happening. They're trying to hide it from us in the media. I think we're only going to see one side because, you know, the media, they're still in control of the media, of course, so we're only going to see one side of the agenda. I think a lot of people are starting to turn around right now. You think those emails will be kick in the ass to get them even more?
Oh yeah, and those are the retracted emails. So they've had, you know, they've released pages and pages of that, but then the other in Congress, they want to get down, because Fauci went through those emails before they were released, right? So there's probably a whole bunch of emails missing. And when they get the raw version of it and that gets released and they compare it to what was released, that's probably going to be shut off another firestorm of controversy. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, did it leak from Wuhan or was this a triple cross thing? Because when they were running that gain of function was done in, that was down on I think the University of South Carolina or something.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
North Carolina, right next to Fort Detrick there. And, and Fauci was financing that with Dr. Xi. And then the Obama administration shut that stuff down in 2014. But, you know, the U.S. military took some of it. And of course, you know, other militaries associated with the U.S. military have full access to any of that. They just walk in and take what they want. So, and then Dr. Xi went to Wuhan, financed by the NIH, to continue research on it. But the main things like the spike protein and the four units of HIV homology, you know, genes in it, that was already in there when 2014. So we don't really know, because what's interesting is the varieties in China, Iran, and Italy are slightly different. They're variants. So yeah, and so we just, you know, is this, it becomes, you know, when you do intelligence operations and things like that, I mean, if you can figure out that they did it, you've obviously, your intelligence operation has failed, right? You have to have that questionable deniability, and they could have set the Chinese up and make it look like they were the bad guy. Now they're pulling it out and China must pay. China is, you know, Wuhan is the bad guy. But then, you know, Fauci's there supporting it all. And so I think they're going to throw him under the bus. They really have no choice.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like.
But if you look at Event 201, right? Event 201, they held in the fall of 2019. They did the exact same scenario of what happened, right? So obviously they knew it was going to be happening. And the Chinese had no clue, but they knew. Gates and all those other guys were there doing that whole thing. The whole crew, they did the whole plan, and then it happened. You know, it's like in the London bombings, right? They're actually running a simulation that bombs were going to go off in the subway system of London in exactly the places where they went off. Or on 9/11, they were running simulations of planes being hijacked and being flown into buildings, including the Pentagon, during the exact moment that it was happening. You know, this is like their plausible deniability thing. So when you see something like that happen, and then it happens, it says, no, that puts up red flags and says, no, this is one of their operations. And, you know, and they're very cunning. They come up with, you know, if you look at the Event 201, they have like layers, they have like 200 layers in that whole thing, simulation of what they need to do. So if they're running an intelligence operation, they've got layers and layers, how it's going to come out. It's going to be like this. Then it's going to be like this. Then if it goes this way, we'll do this. If it goes this way, we'll do that. So, I mean, they work these scenarios out and they work it out with plausible deniability. So you can never really know. I mean, because if you knew, then it obviously wasn't a very good operation. But if you can't know and you can't really pin it down, or you can pin it down on somebody else that isn't, it's like all these hacking things, like for the meat plant, or that there's no evidence, or solar wind, there's no evidence the Russians had anything to do with that. Zero.
Right. Yeah.
The FBI comes out and says the Russians did it. Well, show me the evidence. They have no evidence. It's like the thing with Trump when they had the Russian thing, the hacking and the campaign or something. It all turned out to be complete lies, and they knew it was lies. You know, so why should I believe them if they lied before and they lied before and they lied before and they all lied that it's the Russians 4 or 5 times, and then they come out and say it's the Russians again? Why would I believe that? You know, how many times can they cry wolf before people says, well, maybe it isn't the Russians. Maybe it's you.
Yeah. Maybe it's right here. I want to remind everyone in the audience, this is going to be your last chance to get any questions or comments in there. We'll be closing out soon, and I promise I'll try and get to all of those. We got a few minutes left. What do you think is going to go on with these restrictions for the vaccine? We had the punk band the other day that was charging $18 for non-vaccinated people and $1,000 for the vaxxed people for their concert. And we're probably going to see a lot more stuff like this. I know there's certain grocery stores and places of business that still have the mask mandates because they're terrified. Do you think that we're going to see more of these vaccine restrictions coming up?
Oh, yeah, I think it's kind of their whole thing is petering out unless they can release another bioweapon. But it's, you know, it's all this virtue signaling that is going on.
Yes, that is.
Look at New York. New York is just devastated. The idiots up there, you know, Cuomo and who was the other, Blasio, that runs the place, whatever his name was, that runs New York. I mean, they've had like 100,000 millionaires and billionaires move out of there down to Florida. It's never coming back. They just destroyed that place. I mean, all those super lockdown blue states, they've destroyed the economy, and all the red states where they didn't lock down as much, their economies are relatively booming. They picked up all that. And, you know, they've actually lost population in California and big hunk of their tax base. So, yeah, we've seen like huge changes because of just that idiocy. And, you know, but people that work off an ideology, you know, facts and things, events don't mean anything to them. They just have an ideology that they just carry forward regardless of what happens until, you know, they can't go forward anymore because it's done that. So, but I think as the health problems continue to grow and we actually get, you know, people start really understanding what has happened. I mean, they've had more 4,000 or something deaths. And usually what they do is they've actually, Del Bigtree, you've probably heard of him and his stuff.
Well, yeah, he should be on our show next month, hopefully.
Yeah, oh, cool. Because he's shown that, you know, only 1% of the reports are go in through that reporting system, right? So they've had 4,000 something deaths. That could be 400,000 deaths from the vaccine, or tens millions of really bad side effects. You can't hide this stuff forever. It does leak out. So they're facing a real dilemma there, because if it all comes out, the whole thing could blow up in their faces. So yeah, maybe an alien invasion or something is needed.
Yeah, maybe so. Revolt Records says they use the same playbook over and over. They do. And the problem is, maybe that is a problem, but there's also another problem is it's probably the inbred children of these elite scumbags who are trying to do this, and they don't have enough brain cells to pull it off anymore. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, yeah. I mean, there is this degeneration factor. I mean, compare H.W. Bush, you know, old man Bush, the CIA is involved, the Kennedy assassination, all that nasty stuff, compared to his son, you know, George W. I mean, there's definitely a decline in the quality of operations. Or the guys like, you know, the guys, the early guys, Alan Dulles and all those other guys that used to run the CIA.
Yeah.
Compared to like the clowns they have today. And so...
I'm pretty sure the Queen of England may not even be able to talk right at all. I don't know. She may have two brain cells fighting each other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, but I mean, compare her to what's coming up, Charles or...
Oh, I know.
Harry or what's the other one? Whatever his name is. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I mean, there seems to be a little bit of decline here in the quality. So yeah, it just may fall apart from the
inbreeding factor,
inbreeding and whatever else, you know, eating that bad food and then believing their own lies, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely. I hope it does fall apart on them. Well, Ken, I want to thank you so much for coming on. We live in fascinating times. Oh, and I want to remind everybody, come out to Laughlin, Nevada. I am leaving tomorrow. I'll be there Sunday. I'll be there all week. Come and say hello. Have a couple of drinks with me. It's going to be amazing. They got like almost 40 people making presentations there. Amazing presenters. You won't want to miss it. And Ken, like I said, thank you again for coming on. Everybody go get you some C60 Purple Power. Click that link in the description and get you 10% off the order.
Well, great to be on, and enjoy Laughlin. I hear it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I hope so. Last year was awesome. Thank you so much, Ken, and I'll definitely be talking to you soon. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening.